Hello, everyone. Welcome. Almost 30 podcast. What's happening? How are you feeling?
How are you?
It's our first time on the mic.
I need to bring back the vocal fry.
I know. Honestly. TBT to the vocal fry days. I need to bring... Damn, I was listening to an interview from forever ago and I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. I was just really excited about this topic we were talking about. And I was just... It was very apparent in the interview.
Yeah. I was listening to one the other day. We were doing a little bit of like backlog research. And I was like, wow, land the plane, lady.
Dude, honestly.
I still do that today. And dude, I'm sure I'll look back a fucking year from now and be like, wow, still haven't landed the goddamn plane.
Land the plane, lady. You know, yeah, you're just like watching it. You're like, okay, we're circling the base. Is she going to fucking stick
it? And I'm literally feeling into the energy of the guest who's just like, what was the question?
Totally. Dude, and I've been on interviews with people interviewing us when it's embarrassing to ask for the question.
I know.
You feel bad being like, dude, actually, we've interviewed a baller woman. I don't know if it was Marianne Williamson. Maybe that was like, what are you, like literally direct.
She's what is the question?
Exactly. What is the question? Which was like, actually refreshing, but then also throws you off.
Totally.
Literally throws you off.
I actually really appreciate it. It reminds me to just get to it. There's a... I listened to The Knowledge Project hosted by Shane Parrish. And he just asked the most concise, short questions. Like,
right.
It's literally the guest talking basically the whole time. And he'll be like, so how did that feel?
I love that.
He's great. I'm like learning a lot from listening to him, but land it.
I know. I was talking to one of the trainers at the gym. He was like, comes to me. He's like, it's so bizarre. I was doing a plank or something. And when he comes to talk to me, I'm like, perfect. I can like not work out. I'm like, excuse me. And I'm like ready for a full conversation so I can not work out. He's like, you have really long... He's like, you have beautiful hands. You have really long fingers. I'm like, are you going to eat them? Like, I'm like, why are you telling me this? And he's like, are you creative? I was like, sure, I guess. I have a podcast. And he was like, what's it in? I was like, spirituality. He's like, this is inspiring me so much. All I said was I had a podcast in spirituality. He's like, I have a podcast and it's inspiring me to start doing my podcast again. And I was like, perfect. And he's like, well, did you always talk about spirituality? And I was thinking, I was like, I think at the beginning, our first episodes were like call her daddy.
Yeah,
like a little raunchy. And his eyes, when I said that, were like, I honestly think he got a small boner thinking about call her daddy just because a woman said call her daddy.
We missed
literally, he was like, he was like, blink, blink.
Dude.
We missed our calling.
I mean, whatever. We'll get wrong. I'm sure we'll go through cycles.
Yeah.
Well, you nailed it the other day. You're like, first year with this. Second year was more entrepreneurship. Fitness. Or
first year was
health and wellness.
Train wreck. Second year was plane wreck. Yeah. No, first year was sex stuff. Then second year of almost 30. Sex and...
It was like we had like nutritionists.
Yes. Like health, wellness. Stuff. Now we're, I guess... Yeah. Who knows, dude? Let yourself evolve. That's why you guys came here.
Be the freak that you were born to be.
Yeah, let your freak flag fly.
Coming off
fresh off a girls' weekend.
Yeah.
It was cute. I had a lot of people message me. They're like, it looked like you had such a great weekend.
I feel like people are
it's like,
just
my
dying.
Job as an influencer is done. You're jealous.
Yeah. Dying to get out. Dying to be with the people they love and like go somewhere. It's really nice to not be in your own space for a little bit because it kind of disorients you out of the same thoughts you're thinking when you get out of bed and you walk in. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And speaking from a privileged place, to be able to go away during this time, feeling so lucky. But we had a...
Well, before it potentially shuts down again, who knows what's gonna happen. So it was good to just a small group get away.
Yeah.
And it was so nice.
Lots of laughs.
Lots of laughs.
Hilarious walking into... Okay, so I guess, you know, it is an influencer trip. We're so lucky. We have our friend Jordan, who works at Hotel Paseo in Huntington Beach. And she was just so sweet and generous and just planned this whole weekend. And you'd think, you know, we're coming in as influencers. We'd walk in with like our best things on, our freaking best threads.
Yeah, what's like
and
influencer swag right now?
I'm trying to even think. I wasn't wearing
it. It's like sunglasses and like a Kylie Jenner sweat set maybe.
Like, we should be ready to take a photo at any time. Yes. I don't know if we were ready to take a photo at all at any point.
No. That's the hard thing is it's like, they're like, oh, come stay. And you're like, and I come in trash clothes and I'm like, oh, I'm trying to relax. But also yes. you have to get ready and you're supposed to be taking pictures. I'm like, oh, we had, they did this workshop for us, which was like a skin workshop and it was social distance with an anesthetician. So we were all sitting in our like places away from each other and we weren't getting facials, but they were showing us like how to do our own facial. We all were, oh my God. I had like dirty sweatpants on, like a giant sweat. We all were just...
I was really trying. I was looking in like the selfie thing in my phone. I was like, can I maybe from this angle? And I was like,
I know. I tried
nothing
to do
looks good.
A Tezza moment with the tiny mirrors they gave us and like take a picture in the mirror. You know that vibe? I was like, oh, I'm going to take a picture of me taking a picture in this mirror with the background. And it was like, my mirror was all dirty and like my fucking thing was all dirty. So it didn't look cool at all. It was like, what is this?
And we took a boat ride, which was so fun.
The boat ride was
fun.
It was a blast, but like Huntington, all the edge is like fucking rocks.
And tankers.
Our boat ride was past tankers and like that fueling station. There was like a giant fueling station.
Gary, the captain, was so freaking sweet.
Yes.
He literally did it up for us. We had a full mini fridge. We had blankets.
We didn't drink a single thing from the mini fridge.
Yeah, didn't drink a single thing. We're so fun.
We drank wine.
We brought our own wine.
We brought our own.
But yeah, it was very... I hadn't been to Huntington.
Yeah.
It was a whole different vibe.
A whole different vibe.
But we had a blast. It was a good time.
It was... Yeah. It's just good to... It was just good to feel... Lately, I've been really feeling into the energy of like what a friend looks like. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about it a lot this year. Like, what does friendship mean to me? And the up level of my friends right now is insane. Just once you're able to really be clear on like, what does friendship feel like to you? What does it look like to you? It gets so much easier.
I've been reminded of I think I had a thought, like a story that friendship should be easy. Friendship should be just flow. And that made me forget about the part that friendship is work and you have to pour into your friendships.
Yes.
And yeah, I've just been really thinking about that a lot this year. And what that means for me is that making time to catch up with someone on the phone and having it be super intentional, or is it like touch bases consistently every week, or is it like thoughtful emails, or is it, you know, just what does that look like and how can we do that during this time, especially with, you know, COVID and everything? But
I know
it's important because you get back so much when you pour into those relationships. Like even the weekend that we spent, I was like, damn, my friends are pouring into me and it feels so good and vice versa. And it just felt like this energy kick that I was needing and I didn't know how to get, but there it was.
It was a drug.
It was a drug. I felt high.
It was Milana Snow and Letitia Roll, if you guys want to look up our friends that we went with. Mm-hmm. I thought this was an amazing thing that friends were doing. So Jenna Zoe and Jordan Younger. So Jordan Younger of The Balanced Blonde and then Jenna Zoe, who you guys both know. Last Friday, they hung out when we were away and they spoke basically very honest to one another about what they each other sees as their blocks. So Jordan told Jenna what she thought her blocks were and things that were holding her back and vice versa. And I was like, dude, that is how baller our friends are.
Yep.
That we can go there, feel safe, feel supported, feel seen, and really give that kind of like real raw feedback. Hey, granted,
when's our night?
I know that. I wasn't there.
We're going to make it an episode.
Literally. I'm like, they had this beautiful thing that I will witness and appreciate, but probably never participate in.
That's really cool.
Isn't that baller?
Yeah, that's baller.
I'd
be down to do it.
But that's an advanced, like, let me be clear, people. That is an advanced skill level. Do not be doing this activity with friends that like are not your friends. Like,
or just not ready to hear the truth.
Exactly. Well, you'll jump. Imagine if you did it with friends that like were not there for your highest intention or didn't have an agenda, you know, subconsciously. A lot of the stuff is subconscious.
But damn, that is the thing that takes the friendship to the next level.
Of course.
Something like that.
Yeah, tragedy.
Tragedy.
When you hurt their feelings, then you build them back up. It's actually the cycle of abuse.
But I'm thinking about like I've been thinking a lot where I'm like, I need people to hold me accountable for things. but I haven't been necessarily having the conversations that start that accountability where I'm like, I need this.
Totally.
Please tell me when I'm being a little bitch. Totally. Like, whatever, you know?
Totally.
But that's cool. Okay.
I know. Isn't that a good one? I'm down.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm totally
down. I think it'd be good to do us four to do that.
Yes.
Milana and Leticia.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's like, I'm trying to think of who's safe. Who's safe? Everyone's safe. All my friends are safe, but...
But feeling safe with friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's also like subconsciously you know what people would say.
That's why it's so
and
powerful.
And it's also their perspective. Totally. A little bit. Because I think of something that someone I know would say and I'm like, I subconsciously have answered your question and you're thinking of me in my head. You know what I mean?
I also think there should be a balance of like having your friends highlight things about you that are maybe you don't see as much that are really beautiful. And,
yes,
and,
totally.
You know.
Yeah. We should just cut the feedback and stick with that.
Oh, man. Speaking of friends, Lauren Everts Bostick is on the show today. And I just, when I thought about, you know, females in business, friendship, supporting one another, inspiring one another, being true to themselves, like she truly embodies all of that. And candidly, like I didn't know about Lauren. I didn't know about Skinny Confidential until probably 2 years ago. I just was kind of out of the loop. Like I was like truly living under a rock.
It was like a blogging world thing too that I was in.
Yeah, totally. And when I first saw her stuff, I was like, okay. Like I was just like, blogger. And then as I really dug into her content, the way she expressed herself and now through the podcast and just meeting her and knowing her now, I'm like, damn, she really does walk the talk and is so generous with what she's learned and what she knows and her expertise in this world of influence. That I just respect the fuck out of her.
Yeah. It's crazy too. Like being in our industry, I haven't heard anyone ever say anything bad about her. Everyone is always like, she is so sweet, kind, caring, which we've always known. And we've met her at events when we've been speaking. And then I met her a while ago, but she always has been so gracious and just like... does it right. I mean, she's a leader. It was crazy too in our interview. I was telling you this after. It was like, she's so in her power, dude. She's so in her power. I was like, what's my power? Like a part of me felt a little bit. I was like, damn, like it was so inspiring. I was like, damn, I want to be that in my power where I'm just like, this is what it is. This is what I'm about. Like knowing who you are and what the fuck you're doing is powerful.
Yes. I also was thinking, and we talk a little bit about it in the interview, but you know, being a mother now.
Yes.
I already feel that mother energy of just being like standing in your power, not giving a fuck and being like protective of like your, who you are and obviously your family, but yeah, there's an energy there.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's like, Peter Kelly says that. It's like, you can't fuck around when you're a mom.
Yes.
You're not going to like sit around, waste your time.
Exactly.
You know, with shit when you're a mom, because you know, your priorities are just really clear.
Really, really clear. But this was just fun. She came to the studio.
Yeah.
This will be on YouTube as well. And it was a very honest conversation, both about business, about, you know, balancing, being a mom, not really feeling balanced, but trying her best. Like her hacks are like life. The way she hacks her day to be able to give to her husband, her daughter, like to the business, to her team is... very inspiring and so creative.
And we talked about her hormone journey. So balancing hormones after baby Zaza and how she learned to just really figure out her body, learning about hormones and hormone health. So I really loved our conversation there. And then we talked about a situation that happened to her earlier this year where she shut her Facebook group down. So that was something that happened within her community. She decided to archive the group. So she talks about her reasoning why and really, you know, the impetus for everything that went down in that community during that time.
Yeah. If you don't know Lauren, you can find out more at theskinnyconfidential.com. She and her husband, Michael, have an incredible podcast. Him and her podcast with her husband, Michael. I just freaking love that duo. Never boring. And they're always so So honest, and it's been cool to just see not only them grow, like grow their family, but various businesses. And yeah. I mean, it's
they've just known each other forever. And
yeah,
I love Michael. It's
I love Michael. Truly the best.
Taking I just like people. I love people that just are themselves. Yes. Just fucking doing their thing.
Yes. The best. Thanks, Lauren. We appreciate you being here. And to all of the TSC community, we're just happy to have you. Mm-hmm. Honored that you're here. For more...
I'm a member.
Same.
I'm a member of that commune. Same. So yeah, we're glad to have you. Welcome, welcome, welcome if you're new.
And you can find out more at almost30.com. We have... our shop there as well, shopalmost30.com, with all of our digital workshops, our new paradigm series that we had over the last year, 2020, because we couldn't be on tour. So you can buy those in the shop now. We have workbooks and downloadables to support you in your evolution. And what else? Our merch.
Yeah.
If you're looking for some fashion.
Yeah, if you're looking for some fashionable threads for the winter, we have our eco-friendly conscious apparel in the shop. And if you're interested in starting a podcast, yourpodcastpro.com. That's yourpodcastpro.com. We support podcasters launch, grow, and monetize. And all the channels, Almost 30 Podcasts. You can find us on Instagram, YouTube, everything. And we look forward to connecting with you. Thanks for sharing with your friends. It's how we've grown. It's how, you know, we've built this community of inspiring, conscious women. So yeah.
We love you. We'll see you on the other side. Enjoy this one.
Enjoy. I was looking at after having baby and the hormone journey, you know, that you've been on. And I wanted to talk to you about that because I haven't had a baby, but we talk about hormones so much. I've been on my own journey. Isn't it insane when you figure out like what the hell's going on?
I thought that I was just perpetually tired my whole life. I look back from 21 to 30 and I was tired for 10 years. And I don't mean like tired. I mean, I could nap at any time and found out I had a low thyroid. So that was that. And then started balancing my hormones, like you said. And you're right. It feels like a puzzle that you're putting together and you start to say, oh, this makes sense. And you just go layer after layer after layer. Once you balance it out though, I feel 8,000 times better.
Yeah. It's really interesting how much we're sold about our bodies and like how it confuses us from actually tuning into what's actually going on. Like I'm thinking about my skin, but same thing with the hormones. It's like, we're kind of fed like, okay, so you're tired. Take this. You know what I mean? There is this kind of blanket prescription that, you know, these brands are trying to give us. But what was the moment where you were like, okay, I have to learn more about what's going on?
I mean, I was doing everything that I possibly could to lose weight and nothing was budging. Nothing. And everyone's like, well, you just had a baby. That's not a good enough excuse for me. Like I was eating enough.
No excuse.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not eating a ton. Mm-hmm. I'm working out 7 days a week. I'm walking every day. It's not like I'm sitting around eating Cheetos wondering why the weight's not coming off. It was not coming off. And then I started to dig into this and I was like, this is so fucked up that this industry tells us not to get our hormones checked until we're 50 or in menopause. I mean, I think if you're a woman, you should go to a hormone specialist. I'm not a doctor. I'm just telling you what's worked for me. You should know your thyroid levels. Like you should know your bank account. You should know where your hormones are at. You should do it every 6 months just to see. And it's truly changed my life. I was wearing the same clothes like for 5 days straight, like my husband's clothes, nothing fit. I was puffy. I was overweight. Obviously, I just had a baby. It was probably like 5 months after. Horrible anxiety and sensory issues. Like, and sometimes I still get it too. But like if an alarm goes off or if there's like a ding from a text message, that would give me anxiety. Like it was so bad from postpartum. And I was like, this is not normal. I went into her office looking like death. It was disgusting. Like I looked just gross. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. Like this is so, I'm so tired. I'm so fatigued. I can't lose weight. And she's like, let's test your hormones. Thyroid, like I said, came back low. Testosterone came back so low. Progesterone came back low. And she just helped me balance it all out. Once we got that balanced out, she tested my insulin. That's another thing no one gets tested. I was insulin resistant. these are things that if I had not got them tested and balanced out, that she told me, even if I ate nothing and worked out every day, I still wouldn't lose weight. So I feel like I'm on this, I don't know, like crusade to tell women, if you're experiencing any of these problems, go get a test. And they say, what kind of doctor? Go to a hormone specialist. And really dig into what's going on with you. Because I will tell you, I have not taken a nap during the day since, like, I feel so much better.
I don't know how you did everything you did if you were tired all the time.
Oh my God.
To be honest.
No, there was like,
do you know what I mean?
So much happening.
But that was, I had actually had the same. I had low T, low progesterone. I had super high estrogen. And I felt like when my hormones went crazy, I was wearing like a fat suit. Like I felt like I was just like in this skin and body that like wasn't mine. And it felt so uncomfortable. And there's that feeling of like when you wear fucking the same clothes every single day that are your husband's or fiance's, that's like, there's a thing to be cool about feeling good, but I wasn't feeling good. I'm not feeling good when I'm wearing fucking Justin's clothes every day.
And not feeling like yourself.
And not feeling like myself.
The same sweats that you go to every day. Yes. And like they start to smell like a rotten egg. Yes. Like it's like
they have like food all over
them.
The
underwear that's like from Amazon that is like not the move. Trust me, I get it. And you get to a point. Listen, everyone has to like do their own soul searching of how they want to be and how they want to look. For me personally, I was uncomfortable in my skin. And so that's where I was like, okay, I need to like fix this problem and take it into my own hands. So get your hormones checked. Trust me.
It's the best. Yeah. It truly will change your life. And it's just like a building block of your normal life. But I forgot to say how we met the first time.
Oh yes, please.
At freaking Malibu Farm. This was like how many years ago?
So many years ago.
My best friend was on her first marriage. So that's how many years ago it was. Her and this person got divorced. So that was probably a sign that she was going to lose. She lost the ring. But we were in Malibu Farm. It was my best friend and I. We were having lunch. She had just gotten engaged, had a huge fucking ring. It was so beautiful. She took off her ring to put lotion on, stood up, went to the bathroom. We were just enjoying the day. Realized her ring was gone. It's at Malibu Farm. So it has like planks. So it's like, okay, it's either in the first round of the planks or it's in on the beach below. And we were in Malibu Farms, like there's really rich people from Malibu. People are like enjoying their like beverage and we're like on the ground. She's like howling. She's like, oh my God, my ring. 4 hours. 4 hours we're looking with the staff.
I thought it was your ring.
No, babe. No, it was my best friend's ring.
Okay, God, that makes more sense.
So I was on, because I was very chill. I was on the, so I had to go to the beach. I had to look in the beach. I was looking in the sand. She was looking underneath the floorboards. Finally, this busser used a hanger and like moved leaves underneath the thing and scooped up the ring after 4 hours. It was right before she's like, I'm going to call my fiance and tell him. She's like, I'm going to tell him. I'm like, first of all, we're never telling him. Second of all, we're not going to tell him now. And she, right when she was about to call him, we found it.
Did but the busser get a blowjob?
We honestly, she was like, I need to send you a bottle of wine. He's like, what? I don't fucking give a shit. Literally, we're like, who's going to fuck the busser? Which one of us is fucking him? But it was the most surreal day of my life because we knew she wasn't supposed to marry him. They ended up getting divorced very shortly after. And I was like, this is a sign. Like,
that's a sign.
Losing the ring is a sign. And then we saw you with Michael, I think, coming in.
With Michael, and I think I was with my friend Steve.
Yes. And I literally, like, it was so weird because I had a moment where I was, like, pitching you in front of her. And I'm like, this is how our culture is now, where I knew your story so well that I was, like, pitching you and your story to my best friend in front of you. I was like, oh, this is Lauren. Like, she was a bartender. She, like, worked her way up.
So sweet.
It was so crazy.
This is pre-podcast, too. Neither of us had a podcast.
Nope.
You guys were the OGs, though. Like, you guys started a podcast, you know, very, very early on.
Yeah, same with you.
Yeah.
I know. We got into the space. Yeah. We're very lucky to
such
get
a
into
sweet spot.
Yes, very sweet spot. You guys are on what episode?
367.
Yeah. What are you?
Or I don't know. I think 300.
I mean,
it's fun, huh?
It's so but isn't it kind of crazy to think about that many hours of like you out there? Like I think about that. I'm like, because of how fast our culture changes, I'm like, what's going to happen in 5 years? Like, what the fuck have I said?
Let's not pull bits.
I know.
Let's not pull bits and manipulate it and edit it like so many people do. Uh-huh. You know?
I feel like it's going to be a good tool. I mean, you have Zaza. It's like, listen to episode 268.
There's a million
episodes. So I don't have to ream you.
Yeah, don't listen to the 500 other ones that I did.
Wait, have you listened to your first episode ever again?
No.
I would.
We did it live.
It was unreal. Unreal. Really? Yes.
It's hilarious. There's
I don't know if I can do it. Nothing I'm too right. Psycho.
It was stupid.
Nothing we right about
anything.
It.
We weren't saying anything. We were like, yeah, so like we're going to be really honest with you guys on the show. And like we were thinking, it's like our first episode. They're like, what?
We're like,
now I'm going to do that. I'm inspired.
We're like, we have a new segment for you guys. It's literally the first show. There's yes. Everything.
They don't
new.
Even know about segments.
By the way.
Yeah.
Oh,
unreal. But with having Zaza and like your journey, it's so crazy because it's like, I've seen you, you know, like, I think get engaged, then get married and then have Zaza. And it was like, I know talking to Sam too, she's like, we're not going to talk about, you know, Zaza's going to be private. And then you have Zaza and she's the most beautiful girl in the world.
I'm very torn about the privacy with the baby. I don't think that that everyone needs to be involved in everything with her. I will show her here and there, but like she's a supporting character and she's got her own stuff. I'm pretty respectful with how much I show her. And Michael would actually even like me to be more of her off media. And I think like compared to other bloggers, like you're not going to catch us in the kitchen doing a laundry ad for like, you know, me, Vanna Whiting. Like I don't want to like, and there's nothing wrong with that. I just mean like for me, the baby to me, it's very sacred. Like the whole, she's very special and to me. And of course that's how every parent is. But with social media, sometimes it feels, it just feels like it's too much. Mm-hmm. You know, there has to be some form of privacy.
I mean,
but you've also felt it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you felt it to the nth degree of like eyes on you. And it's been really, I mean, we always look up to you in the way in which you do it. But then to think about that on a child, I'm sure you just have like this, I think you're so good and so protective, but I can imagine that just that inner conflict of like,
it is
this
a conflict.
Too much?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You never want to like, I'll show her here and there, but if I've showed her 3 days in a row, a picture of her, like, nah, mm-hmm. like maybe yeah. I'll wait like 5 days. Also, I don't want to tell her who to be. I think so many parents have told their kids who they are. I want her to tell and discover through herself what she wants to be in the world and how she wants to show up. And she might hate photos. I mean, I hate photos too. So.
Same.
Oh, I'm so sick of seeing myself.
Dude,
I'm
like, honestly.
Fuck, and I have to post another fucking Instagram of myself. Like, I got it. Like, I've seen myself enough.
I literally am like you again. Every time
I know. You again. You guys should call this literally. Episode you again.
Literally.
It is you again. It's like, you again. Like,
and video too.
I've seen it. So for her, like, if she doesn't want to be on camera, great. Whatever she wants to do. Whoever she wants to be, I want to be very supportive and show up for that.
I didn't know this, but many multivitamins supplements are made of harmful additives, preservatives, binders, and fillers. That's like what makes up most of it. And I didn't know that. So I've been paying very close attention. I was super pumped when I found Gem. I've been taking Gem for probably about 6 months or so, and they do it right. These are like bite-sized, packed nutrient cubes. They deliver your daily nutrient essentials straight from the source, which is Mother Earth. They are using superfoods, adaptogens, and nutrient-dense goodness for your daily supplementation. It has sea minerals, coconut, quinoa, ashwagandha, chlorella, pumpkin seeds, dates, red algae, spirulina, and so much more. Gem absorbs slower, so you're metabolizing the ingredients slower, easier to digest, because these nutrients are whole, healthy, and food form. Fluff-free when it comes to Gem. Free of synthetic colorants and fillers, artificial ingredients, harmful derivatives, indigestible binders, added sugar, soy, corn, gluten, animal, and dairy. Free of all of that. Gem is also made from the ground up, not the lab. So their beliefs are minimally processed plants, always less is more. And algae whenever possible. I love algae, y'all. That is going to be the plant of 2021. Let me just call it right now. We love Gem. If you want to get 20% off, please go to dailygem.co. That's D-A-I-L-Y-G-E-M.co.
ILYGEM.co. Use our code ALMOST30 for 20% off for new subscribers. This comes directly to your door. You can cancel or change your subscription at any time, but something you don't have to think about shows up and you can take care of yourself. So dailygem.co, use the code ALMOST30 for 20% off for new subscribers. I did a little ditty on Instagram the other day showing you my nighttime skincare routine, and I was using Osea, our favorite skincare products. They are plant-based, results-driven. I am obsessed with this line. They pull in the elements of the earth. So they nourish your skin with non-toxic plant-derived ingredients that are from the ocean, that call in the elements of sun, earth, and atmosphere. And I love them. I can't believe that this natural skincare line produces the results it does. I grew up thinking like, oh, I have to like use the chemical astringents and this, that, the other thing. But my skin has never looked better. And it's because I've been using these natural products. Each product is infused with sustainably sourced organic Patagonian seaweed and active botanicals that create a nutrient and mineral rich bioavailable base. I love it. I love the ocean cleansing mud. Y'all, it is like, it has peppermint in it. It's like a very gentle exfoliant. It just feels unbelievable on the skin. I also really, really love their essential hydrating oil. This is perfect, like in the morning before bed. It plumps the skin and smooths the fine lines with their favorite, like jojoba and macadamia oils. It's unbelievable. I just love them so much. So if you'd like to try Osea Malibu, visit oseamalibu.com/almost30pod for $10 off your first purchase of $50 or more. This is only until the end of the year, so get on it. This is great for the holidays. oseamalibu.com/almost30pod for $10 off your first purchase of $50 or more. And there's free shipping for U.S. orders over $75 and free samples with every order.
What has been surprising about being a mom? Like, what was something you were like, you thought it would be like, but it wasn't? Or what's just been like different about your journey than you thought?
You feel so guilty all the time. And I think that's not talked about. People talk about mom guilt, but as a business owner, like to feel it all the time. Like there's so many things I have to do all day long to run a business, as you guys know. And then to also, you know, show up for her. What I've realized is I would rather show up 100% than half-ass. So I will schedule morning time with her. I'll schedule taking a bath. Like it's all in my calendar laid out of when I'm with her. And I'm really protective of that. And I've had to set a lot of boundaries with like, you know, no, I can't do a conference call at 9 o'clock. I'm with the baby. Like, no, find another time. Well, there's no other time. Well, then I'm not going to be able to do it today. You have to get brutal with your time even more so. And I didn't think I would feel guilty. It's very interesting. I don't know if it's a maternal thing. And I do. I feel every time I leave the house, I'm like, it has to be worth it. You know what I mean? It has to be something I want to do. I'm not doing any more things I don't want to do. It has to be something that is beneficial for everyone. So beneficial for the other person, the audience, for me. Like it has to be very much a win-win-win. And then that day I have to have some kind of space with her. I need to have space with her where it's off my phone. And I'm also surprised how young they notice the phone. And she noticed the phone, I'm not joking, when she was born. I thought I'll be able to work on my phone in front of her. And she notices the phone, which is difficult when you're trying to post 16 Instagram stories. You know what I mean? Just like fucking pretending that I'm taking a shit in the bathroom when I'm just like sitting on the toilet posting an Instagram story. Like you have to find your time.
Yeah,
for sure.
So those are the two surprising things.
How has it changed your relationship with Michael? Or like, how do you see him differently? Or what has changed?
I think it's enhanced it. Because it's such a different layer to see your husband with something that's both of you. I also think I have a partner who is fine to do half. Sometimes fine to do 75%. Like he is fine to... He really helps. Like he's very, very, very hands-on. Some so much to the point where sometimes I'm like, you're micromanaging me. Like, read a book. Get away from me. Go find a fucking hobby. So he's very, very, very hands-on. So that's been very cool to see. And it's also obviously very helpful. I would tell anyone out there who's looking for a partner, like I always say this, but don't settle. And if one of my things is I really wanted to marry someone and become a parent with someone who was going to take on half the load. I never signed up in a marriage to be with someone where I was taking on 80% and they were taking on 20%. I very much wanted it 50-50. Especially because if I'm bringing in 50% of the income,
I mean,
you know, like, sure. Mm-hmm. I'm not an octopus.
100%. That's the whole thing is you guys are such achievers. It's like you have to... Like, both of you are achievers in your own right. So it's like, it's a perfect balance in that way. Has he slowed down since?
No. The guy never slows down. Michael does.
You guys are so hungry.
He actually is hungry because I was going to say he doesn't eat.
I mean.
He doesn't eat.
Guys who don't
eat. People think he does cocaine because he's like, he's just.
I love him. He's like they put on a 15-minute call. Like, he'll be like, yeah, we need 15 minutes. He's like, I got another 15-minute call after this.
It's like so intense. No, he has not slowed down. He's not a slow person. That's not a word I would use to describe him. I've slowed down.
Yeah.
Meaning I've been more purposeful and meaningful with what I'm creating and like what I'm doing. It's not quantity. And you guys know that. Like, it's quality.
I'm getting there.
Mm-hmm. It's not quantity.
Mm-hmm.
I used to think it was, and I used to say yes to everything. I really used to say yes.
Yes, you did.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tony Robbins always says this: you get to a point where what got you so far stops serving you for the next round, and it's like, okay, for the next round, what's going to serve me is doing things that light me up. And so, I think slowing down ends up speeding you up.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Holiday's book Stillness is the Key is such. Mm. When I do what I need to do in the morning, like my breath work and taking a freezing cold shower, taking a walk, getting off my phone, reading a book, I am so much more effective.
Same.
What other things are you, besides saying no to the things that just don't feel good anymore, what else have you like seemingly just like let fall off?
Well, we just had a conversation, Ansley and I and the whole team about like how and Michael taught me this, if it absolutely does not have to touch me, like, I don't know if touch me is the right word. No. If it doesn't have to come to me and it can be solved without me, then it doesn't have to come to me. And that's another level that you like have to be like, okay, I used to want to be so hands-on and control everything and I can't anymore. So if it doesn't need to come to my desk, like, then you guys figure it out. And if you fuck up, then we'll like adjust and move on. It's like you start, Glennon Doyle said this. She said, you start, and I loved you guys' podcast with her too. She said, you wake up in the morning and first, she was a writer. You're a writer, right? So she's a writer. She loves writing. For me, I'm a blogger. I love blogging. I love creating content. And then you get to this point where people start to like what you're doing maybe and consuming your content. And then you get to another point where you're waking up and you're not creating anymore. You're just working off of everyone's to-do list. And then she's like, I'm at this point where I can't even write and do what's made me successful in the first place. So you have to think, okay, I need to stop being so reactive to what everyone else needs from me and start doing what I did in the first place, which is so goes in line with that book, The Slight Edge. It's like, you can't forget what made you successful in the first place. And, you know, for me, like maybe that's, I actually have two phones. And this is actually very helpful. I don't know if this is going to help a lot of people, but it has helped me. One phone, no one has the number besides Michael. And the other phone is just my regular phone. And the reason I did it that way is because when I was emailing and posting Instagram stories and Instagrams, there's like notification. It's so distracting. So to have one phone where there's no notifications, where I can be fully in my workflow. Everyone's like, oh, have a work phone and a play phone. No, like for me, like just have a phone that no one has the number. That has changed my life because I can sit there and just do everything I need to do. It's way faster because this one has 5 million photos. That one doesn't. It's changed my life.
Wow.
So if you're like feeling overwhelmed with notifications, I would say get another phone.
I just turned off text notifications so they don't show up on my lock screen. They only show up when I go open my messages.
Can we turn off text in general? Just fucking turn off text. I'm fucking so over text.
100%. And now I'll just answer them like morning and then evening. I voice note only. Do you voice note?
I love a voice
note. Voice note all fucking day.
All day.
No receipts.
You know what I'm going to be a bitch right now and be like, I love a voice note. But then when someone sends me one back, I'm like, ugh.
Same.
Are you serious?
3 days minimum is my reply time. Unless I'm like,
I have that recently. I was like, I need to go on a walk and listen to all these voice notes. And it's so funny because when you were DMing the other day, I was like voice noting you. I was like, actually, I don't like when people voice note me. I don't know why I'm doing this to her. I was literally thinking, I'm like, she probably doesn't like this.
No, I do it back too. Like, it's horrible. We're all hypocrites.
I know. But I was like, yeah. So anyways, the no phone thing is baller. I fucking love that.
Get the two phones, but here's the other thing. Do not check your phone in the morning.
I do not. That is
rookie.
That's rookie.
Michael woke up this morning at 5 a.m. and opened his email. And I looked at him and I said, turn your brightness down and get out of the room.
Yes.
Like, yes. It feels so counterproductive.
There's
to
nothing
wake up.
That can
it feels
set you off.
So
icky.
Methy.
Invasive. Yeah. There's something about it that's like, and the light especially, I mean, we'll go into like biohack stuff later, but like the light especially so early in the morning to have like the real estate of your eyes is like
love it.
So, yeah, it affects you. It immediately turns on my brain to the point of like stress. What do I need to worry about? What do I need to be notified about, in touch with?
I'll do it when I travel.
You wait. So do I.
Yeah, dude. It's bad.
Because you're out of your rhythm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, true. And it's like also when I eat dinner late and if I drink wine, I'm like a sugar.
Oh.
A sugar vibe is going on. So I'm looking for like a hit. And so this is like my own crazy theory. So I'll get on my phone earlier and it's like, I don't know. I'll just notice my habits will like slip off.
Ryan Holiday said something on his podcast. He said he noticed when he was traveling that he wouldn't do his morning routine.
Same.
And I'm like, oh, I do that too. So what he said is he started to make a travel morning routine. Mm. That's different than the home morning routine.
Love that.
And I thought that was such a good tip because obviously like you don't have all your books with you. You don't have maybe if you stand in front of a red light, whatever you do in the morning, you don't have all those tools with you. So how can you have a productive day and be preventative about anxiety without all those tools you have at home? And do it while you're traveling. Because I like to have clarity, I have to tap into my toolbox daily.
I know, I do red light too.
It's amazing.
I was like, I remember one story, you were like butt ass naked on conference calls on my red light. I was like, that is the vibe. I was like, that's truly the vibe. That's like all day. I'm like fucking red lighting. But you know what I've noticed is red light makes my hair dry. So I actually wrap my hair up because it makes my hair dry.
What?
Yeah. Pro tip. Wrap up your hair in like a t-shirt or something.
How did you notice that?
Because I noticed, I'm like, why is my hair like ragged? And I was noticing because it was like frying in front of a red light all the time.
Oh, it's always something.
It's also too, I'm going to say something.
Uh-oh.
That red light has real bad EMFs.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know what?
We're upset.
Yeah, I know.
I feel that. Uh-huh. I swear to God.
And I'm on my phone when I'm on it. So I'm like blasting myself.
Michael has this masturbation man cave in our house.
As you do.
And it's like this dark dungeon that I can't with. And there's 8,000 plugs and wires and it's making EMF. Is that how you say
yes.
it?
Yes.
Sounds and like there's
crickets. Wait, do you have one of those? The Tesla?
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
I have an EMF box thing.
Can you text me which one to get?
Yes.
And voice note it to me.
I'll text it to the number that no one else has. So it'll be just me and Michael.
Yeah.
But there was something you talked about that I want to talk about. It's just, we really relate to. It's like when you're a creator and then you become a business owner and then you like lose touch with what it is that made you successful. And we struggle with that so much. Where I actually really, and I'm same as you, I love being a CEO. I love like running a business. I'm actually really, it's like, I love it. But I realize how much I'm like, how much money do I make from podcasting is X percent of our business, the majority. And then we have the other percentages, which is much smaller. How much time are we spending on this versus this? And then how much of like is coming across my desk like you with our, like you said, with our team where I'm like, I don't care about this.
Yeah.
Like,
or do you really need me? There's a dependency, yes. I think. And
I think you just have to be clear with your team.
Yes.
You just have to be very clear and I am not the best leader. I think that I have a lot to work on. So I don't know if I have.
I'm focusing on that
so much advice. But like what we are doing right now is at 9:15 every morning, they text me what they're working on, where they're stuck, and like hopefully an idea that we can do to make everything run more efficiently. It could be something as simple as, you know, let's do a Slack with this new team member, and because I think that packages will be done more efficiently. And then at the end of the day at 5 o'clock, they text what, you know, what they've accomplished. I also think it's like important to make sure that they are confident without, like without any handholding from me. They know the answer. And an example of that is Mimi. She's been on our team for like 7 years. She started, you know, taking dry cleaning, and now she's full on creative director. She's taught herself Photoshop. She's really just evolved her role. And she's taken that into her hands. And I think that that is not a lot of handholding. At the same time, I also like am very much Gary Vee fanatic. And he's always like, you know, what can I do to help you? What can I do to make you more successful? That's a question that I think that is important to ask all the time. Mm-hmm. What you can do for them.
Yes.
And that, you know, I would say just like on a micro level, sprints every week. Having, you know, a sprint meeting where it's a half an hour where we all go over and touch base on our calendar every single week. Ansley and I just put something on Mondays where we're going to do a weekly touch base. So on Monday, we can look at the entire week from a micro level and be like, okay, this person, we need to get a present for. This person, we need to bring, you know, Woo to. We need to send this. Oh, it's this person's birthday on Thursday. Like, what's the strategy? Instead of every morning waking up being like, this is what we have to do today. Let's be reactive. Like, on Monday, how can we just make the week a little bit more smoother? Mm-hmm. It's trial and error. Mm-hmm. It like, it's learning. But I will tell you, I don't love being the CEO. Mm-hmm. I've realized. I want to be a creative director. So that's why I don't feel so comfortable giving so much advice. Michael's more CEO. Mm-hmm. That's like what he loves. I like getting creative. Mm-hmm. And I've realized that to me, if I got paid all the money in the world, I still wouldn't want to be on Zoom calls from 7 to 9.
Yeah, that's
facts. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah, facts. That's so true.
It doesn't make me happy. It doesn't light me up.
Honestly. Do you have to be on Zoom calls a lot?
I did another rule that Ansley wants to kill me for. Only Wednesdays.
Good one. Your call day is Wednesdays.
Yeah, we have Tuesday call day. It was killing us though.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It kills you, but you have to go into it like it's going to kill you. It's so much better though when you're creating on a Thursday and you're so creative and then you have to get on a call.
We haven't gotten to the all day creative day yet.
Yes. We're working on it.
The call day, I know it's brutal, but also have your team space it out. Like, sometimes a call with Sam from, like, I don't know. Does that really need to be this week or can we push it 5 weeks? Mm-hmm. Truly.
100%.
Like, you have to have space.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get creative? Like, so if you have your Thursdays where it's like your creative day, what does that look like?
Blank. Nothing on the calendar. Nothing gets me off more than a blank day.
I mean, facts. Feel that.
I don't want to wake up every day and be doing all the things that I'm supposed to do. So but it looks like definitely getting in a bunch of self-care in the morning so I can be clear. It looks like really great natural light. And it looks like my phone, my computer, like a pad of paper, no one bothering me, music, just nothing. There's nothing to do. But I will say I'm not always inspired. Like, I definitely push myself daily because I think if you just wait until you're inspired, you're never going to do it. And you guys know with 360 podcasts, you have not been inspired for every single one of those. But you show up and you do what you said you were going to do. And you put up the episode weekly and you rinse and repeat. And it's not always fun, but that's part of the game. There's this misconception that being creative and posting on Instagram and blogging and all podcasting is always fun.
I know.
Yeah.
Not always fun.
I know.
I'm not complaining. I fucking love it. I love the ups and downs, but it's not always fun.
Or that a fulfilling career is always bringing you joy.
Yes.
you know? Yeah. And I think, yeah, that's been an interesting thing to watch. Even the younger generation just be like, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to be doing what I love. Yes. And there's so many days that you show up that add to the momentum, but that are not all fun.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. What if they have a study too? It's like people don't want to be, it's like people don't want to be happy. They want to have purpose. Like purpose is what really drives people, not happiness. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like that's the whole thing I think about with what I do. It's like, how could I make people more aware of like the realities of our situation of like what's so hard about what we do, but also be positive. You know, it's like, I want to be really honest, like about things that have been really hard this year. Like there was like 2 weeks ago, someone ripped off almost 30. We've had tons of people rip off our name. We're in constant legal stuff all the time, but they took the name Almost 30. They created a podcast. They took our bio and then they used
all the audio,
our audio. But it was like weird because it was clips of us like being really vulnerable. And it was like, so one of our team members was like, hey, there's someone that used Almost 30, the name, created a podcast, ripped off our bio, ripped off pieces of our audio and put up like 60 episodes. And we're just like, all right, now we're going to have to figure out like legal stuff with it. Like, it's just so many things. I'm like, you would have never thought, like, you know what I mean? Years ago, I'm like, oh yeah, but podcasting's fun. How stressful it would be to be fearful that someone could be like doing this maliciously or like this could be up forever. Or, you know, it's just, there's so many aspects of it where it's like, this is so much harder than people think. And it is not for like the weak.
I think that any career or anything in life, there's always going to be cons. You're never going to get something with all pros.
Totally.
You know, there's, I can't think of one job. And people would say, oh, being an actress. I mean, there's 100 cons with that.
Hell no.
Being a model, 100 cons.
A zillion.
So I think that I just try to practice empathy with everyone's career. Everyone has pain points and tough spots. And just because it's not always all over social media, I mean, I think we're at this like fork in the road where being vulnerable, are you being manipulative 100%. With the vulnerability or are you actually opening up in a way that feels authentic? I don't love that word, but it is true. Like there feel sometimes the vulnerability feels staged.
100%. Yeah, of course.
And
because it's like it's cool now. It's
yeah.
Trendy.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I see those posts, I'm like, ah.
Like someone who was just very vulnerable that I think is amazing is Chrissy Teigen. Mm. And I think that she was so amazing with what she posted about having a stillborn birth. And I'll tell you why. She got attacked for showing that. Mm. But I think she weighed the pros and cons. And I think the pro out of that is that she opened space for all these women who have experienced similar situations or are going to experience similar situations to make them feel less alone. And I don't think there's ever been a celebrity who's been that raw and honest. She probably knew people were going to come after her for posting such a private moment, but she's beautiful. She's thin. She has everything. So it looks like she has the mansion. She has the kids. She has everything. And this still happened to her. And to open up and be like, this doesn't discriminate, it can happen to anyone, I think has made so many other women feel less alone. Mm-hmm. So that's an example to me of someone that, like, yeah, she was going to get shit for the vulnerability, but it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really think that that post that she did is, I mean, people might be mad because it's so raw, but it's real.
Yeah.
And then there's some other people that, you know, use vulnerabilities to sell something or, and it just, if the audience can feel it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people I can feel tell. Like we're getting to a point where creators are forgetting that the audience is really smart. I mean, people are smart.
Mm-hmm.
I notice sometimes that really intelligent, successful people think they're the only ones that are smart.
100%.
It's a real issue.
It's true.
Michael and I talk about this all the time. Just because you're smart and you've had a success doesn't mean other people aren't smart.
Mm-hmm.
People feel energy. People can feel, you know, I think, even through the screen, truth.
Yes.
And if you're blowing smoke up people's ass in 2020, I just don't see the longevity.
I think it's like, I can, and also too, I think the audience, it's like, you can, it's like so weird because it is such a frequency thing. You can see a post and a caption and be like, oh, this feels true or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Feels off. Reading the words or not. It's just like, this feels true for them or not. And this feels like honest or not. And people are so with it and they can tell. And that's why we love, that's why I love podcasting.
Yeah.
Because it's like, blogging was good, but it's like, I hated photos. Like, I just fucking hated it. It didn't feel true for me. I hated flat lays. I hated that I was like having people buy clothes. I didn't really want to be, that wasn't my thing. And podcasting, it's like, you can hear what I mean.
The best thing ever.
It's the best. Mm-hmm. You can.
And also like someone's getting their nails done right now, listening to this.
100%.
Yes.
Yes. And so whatever medium that is for people, because some people like you can do Instagram well or blogging well, like yours are so heartfelt and true, but it's finding that like medium of whatever it is for creators of like what is going to be the most authentic thing for them.
You got it. You copying someone else's formula because it works for someone else is not the move. You got to find where it works for you, mm-hmm. whatever that is. I mean, some people like you don't like taking photos. Some people love it.
I know. Bless. What do you do about people that copy you?
I don't pay any attention to that.
Yeah. Does your team notice it?
People will tell me stuff.
You kind of like work with the...
I just honestly like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
If someone wants to copy me, I'm going to keep evolving and moving. So that's exhausting to copy. Like, I mean, honestly, truly. Like I'm just going to keep... I have 600 other ideas I haven't executed on. I can't be worried about the idea that I was from 3 years ago that someone's copying.
So damn true.
It's like you gotta, if you're wasting your thermometer and your energy, it's such an LA word, but it's true, on worrying about what someone else is doing, you're totally being unproductive towards something that you could be doing.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that has kind of rattled you?
The Facebook group rattled me. Yeah. And we talked about this off air.
Mm-hmm.
And it rattled me because
I was thinking about you for months. I'm like 60K in there, same. Baby. I'm like,
I can't control 60K people. Nope. No one can.
Mm-mm.
There's nothing I can do. So sure, that rattled me. It sucks that you have to make this decision where you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. Like to be in charge of having to shut down a group. You know, there's a very mixed emotion about that. It's sad. I just think that what happens with the Facebook groups is they grow and they grow and they grow. And then people who aren't a fan and for me, not a fan, I would say more of like a community member.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Come in and they don't know, you know, what you're about or what the brand's about. And so it just turns into hate. I do think there needs to be more, I don't want to say monitoring, but due diligence on Facebook's end to monitor the hateful speech.
Mm-hmm. I really, really, really respect every part of how you handled it.
There was definitely like a lot of discussion about like what's the best way to handle this for the community. And I had to make the decision, like I said, that it was too much hate. And it wasn't even the posts that were hateful. It was the comments within the post.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the attacking each other. And I think anyone that has consumed my content knows that I think hateful speech on the internet is unproductive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the benefit. I never in my entire life have gone to someone's page or dropped into someone's DM'd and said something negative.
Mm-mm.
I can't fathom it. Same, I almost can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I shut it down, I had thousands of messages telling me, you know, kill myself. I'm a horrible person. I'm disgusting. I'm a bad mother. You know, on and on and on. And I thought, this is further proving why I should have shut the group down. This, block and restrict, block and restrict. For me to see those DMs and to be able to block those people is so liberating. It's like, get the fuck off my page. Unfollow me. Go consume 8 billion other people's pieces of content. You don't like my podcast? Don't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Just press unfollow.
Yeah.
It felt good to be able to block people that possibly had been following me for the wrong reasons to be hateful. Like it was
100%.
And if you're going to come into my house, my social media and kick your feet up on my couch and say hateful things and be an asshole, get out of my house. I wouldn't do that to you. So I think now, like, I'm just that this, I've reached like this point where it's like, I don't want negative energy on my platforms. Just don't. I think that if you're out there that and you're writing negative things on social media, I think that just take a minute and really figure out what's triggering you. Mm-hmm. Someone asked me the other day, don't you think there should be a feature on Instagram and Facebook when you log on that says these photos are edited because everyone's editing their photos, mm-hmm. smoothing, whatever. And I said, no. And this is not a popular answer. No, I don't think that there should be a disclaimer that people are editing their photos. I think that if you are triggered by something, whatever it is, if I'm triggered by Kylie Jenner editing her photos, it's a me problem. It's not her problem that I'm triggered. We're living in this world where everything's triggering and this and that. It's like, if you are triggered, examine why you're triggered and where that's coming from. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I see, like I said, Kylie Jenner's photos and it's making me really upset, like there's something that maybe I need to journal or maybe I need to get in tune with myself of why that's upsetting me. No one can upset you. Mm-hmm. You know, like no one can make you react. So I think that hopefully when we move into 2020, people will start to realize that if they're triggered, they need to figure, like it's an inward thing. Look inward.
That's the life goal for 2020.
Okay, so I am plant-based probably like 85% of the time. I do eat meat, all different kinds of meat. I just make sure it's the best quality ever. And I found these grass-fed beef sticks from Paleo Valley and I was like, oh, this is how it's supposed to taste. It's 100% grass-fed beef plus all organic spices. Very simple. There's no crap in it. So no chemicals or questionable ingredients. They use old world methods of fermenting their sticks so they are shelf stable and they taste so damn good. So, so good. So this is great for a snack on the go, convenient, you know, even when you're not on the go, great for kids. In addition to the grass-fed beef, I also love the pasture-raised turkey sticks. I couldn't get that out. Pasture-raised turkey sticks. So delicious. So if you'd like to try Paleo Valley, they have a lot of different products that have made me feel so, so great. We talk about some of the other supplements in other episodes, but check it out, paleovalley.com and enter the code ALMOST30 at checkout to receive 15% off your order. That's paleovalley.com. Enter the code ALMOST30 at checkout to receive 15% off your first order. Nothing better than a little chocolate at the end of the night. You know, after dinner and you're like, need a little something, something. Your girl goes to chocolate every time. And I found FX chocolate and was so freaking happy. So happy. They blend biodynamic, fair trade, certified organic cacao with targeted doses of potent functional health ingredients, which I love. So it's not only delicious, but it's good for you. And they are responsible in the way that they make and source these ingredients. So they source them from family-owned supplement businesses with over 30 years of experience. They are transparent. So they show you basically what's in every bite. And it's an American-made product that goes beyond helping people locally employed. It also supports environmental sustainability. I love this. I love brands that care about the earth, care about you. And FX chocolate does that and so much more. I am currently obsessed with their focus formula. So clarifying ashwagandha is in there as well as rich cacao. It's delicious. There's so many to choose from, like the Exhale and the Defend. Defend is great, obviously, for this time of year, boosting up that immune system, powered by reishi mushroom adaptogens for magical mind-body resilience. You can go to fxchocolate.com to check out their shop. And you, of course, have a code, ALMOST30, for 20% off. The code is ALMOST30, and it's 20% off. fxchocolate.com. Check it out.
But looking in, and there's this like, you know, I was talking about this last night at dinner. There's this like level of narcissism too, where it's like, you know, for someone to be like, you know, they need, Kylie Jenner needs to, you know, not airbrush her photos because it bothers me, or people need to not talk about this because it triggers me. It's like, that's a narcissistic belief that someone needs to change the way they act because of what you believe or what you internalize or what you're triggered by. Everyone's going to do whatever the fuck they want to do. So it's like having the world shift and change just for you isn't the way things work. And that's not way like how we evolve and grow. And there's just this movement in social media where there is this narcissistic belief that like, you should do this. You should do that. You should not do this. You should not do that. You shouldn't say this. You're irresponsible for saying that. And people are going to do what they're going to do. And we need to like let go of trying to really change people. Instead, look at ourselves.
100%. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. And just ask that question of like, what is this?
Because it will come up again.
What is this
the
showing
trigger will
me,
come up again.
What is this showing me about how I feel about myself?
100%.
Yeah, and we've all been triggered on social
media. Of course.
But it's not someone else's fault that I'm upset about something that they posted.
Of course.
You know?
100%.
It also feels really good to just be like, okay. Okay.
I sit with it.
Just keep going.
Yes. Or mute. Keep going. Protect your space.
Yeah.
I don't even go to the left side to scroll. I don't even go there. Yeah. I don't even look.
Yeah.
And for content, I consume a couple of people. That's it. It's too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. If I'm trying to diet and I'm consuming 1,800 different opinions where someone's telling me paleo, someone's telling me fiber, someone's telling me vegan, it's too confusing. It's like, how can you funnel your content? Like, I always think of my content that I'm consuming as a big funnel. Put it in, like, extract the couple of people that I really find value in. And the rest, it's just, it's noise.
Mm-hmm.
I think examining who you're consuming is important. Like one of, Sam actually, mm-hmm. shout out to Sam, came
Love
over
Sam.
And we were talking about listening to like certain podcasts. And she brought up this podcast. It's a really negative podcast.
Mm.
And she said that she was like feeling like a little sad about something.
Oh.
And I said, stop consuming that podcast. That's one less thing to make you less sad. And she was like, oh yeah, that's maybe that podcast is like, you don't even realize it's upsetting you.
Yes, totally.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You don't even realize the content's affecting you because you think, oh, it's a minute a day. It's 2 minutes a day. A minute a day adds up to 365 minutes a year.
Yep.
That you're just poisoning your brain with mm-hmm. negativity.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to add up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think really consuming, and there's been times where I feel like I'm consuming something negative for like 3 days and then I'll be like, why am I feeling like this? And I'll check myself immediately.
Yeah, 100%.
And then you're fed, because of the algorithm, you're fed more of that 100%. Type of content.
Yeah, this year has been all such discernment with like consumption of media. It's like, and that checking in, like, I mean, the stuff that we watch, Justin and I, is like, so fluff. It's insane.
Fluff is great.
The best. Mm-hmm.
Fluff it up.
Fluff it up. Literally fluff it the fuck up. What are you working on right now? What are you excited about?
I am working on a co-brand that comes out on Monday.
Oh my God.
When does
God.
This podcast come out?
It'll be after.
So I can talk about the co-brand.
Yes. Yes.
A co-brand with Elemis. It's a skincare collection of a kit that I designed. It's so cute. I have to send you guys one. It's pink, and it's this kit that we've been working on for the last year and a half that has my top three favorite products of theirs. I use them all the time. It's a mist. It's a cleansing balm. It's an oil, of course. And it's all pink. And then we designed some Skinny Confidential merch that's going to go in there. And then eventually, definitely product. You guys know that that takes 500 years.
I was thinking about the other day. I was like, thinking about how I think for a little bit, I had this intuition that you were going to create like an athletic wear line.
No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
No, no, no.
Okay.
You know what? I don't care about clothes that much.
I
I am in Michael's sweats.
Yes.
If I could wear the same thing every day, I absolutely would.
100%. You know,
I had to get in tune with that though, because when I started out, I was like, oh, I want to create an athletic line. And then I started to realize, I wear the same thing like every fucking day. What's the athletic line going to be? Michaelsweats.com?
Totally.
You know.
I actually kind of like
that. It's like,
that'd be actually dope to make a brand that's like my boyfriend's clothes.
Yeah.
And it's just fucking baggy ass clothes.
I got your lilac t-shirt, by the way.
Oh my God, yes.
It's so cute. Oh. I think that's some of the cutest merch I've ever seen.
Oh,
it's
you're
cute.
Sweet.
The lavender.
Be different. Yeah.
You're sweet.
Anyways, okay.
Brings out the whites in your eyes and your teeth.
Elemis line is coming up.
The Elemis line is coming out. Product. And then another book. Which is Chinese torture.
How are you doing?
The book is gnarly.
Yes.
The book is gnarly.
We've heard that it's the process.
You guys will write one. It's called Almost 30 Coffee Table Book. I already see it. Do it in
my
lap.
It's going to be selfies of us.
Great.
It's like a Kim K moment.
Yeah. Don't do too much writing.
Yes.
Don't do too much writing.
Yeah. Just pictures.
So that's coming out probably later next year. And just, I'm just really zoned in with creating. And I'm also very zoned in. And you and I sort of talked about this with nature.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I was going to ask you about that.
I want to be outside.
Nature is life.
Growing your own food. Yeah.
Yes. Taking walks. I want to be retired. I want only photos of like one rose in my Instagram feed.
Yeah.
I want just like a, yeah.
I want my kids playing with wooden toys only until they're like 16.
100%.
You know.
Grounding. Yes. No shoes. I want peace of mind.
Yes. That's same.
What I've realized is success. Autonomy is success. That is success. It's waking up and doing things on your own terms. And that to me is my goal of life. And my goals have changed so much since I was 22. Autonomy to me is number one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Peace of mind and autonomy.
I agree.
That's all I want.
I say freedom. I'm like, I just want enough money for freedom. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because right now I'd be like, I have enough money for freedom. But I'm like, why am I so...
There's always more.
Yeah, there's always more. But it is really, it's like freedom and autonomy and then grass. And nature.
I would love some fucking grass.
I want some grass.
Yeah,
and I want to walk down the street and not see anybody. I'm literally, I hate walking around and having cars like drive by and people. I just hate it. I hate it. There's something weird about me where I'm like, don't look at me. You know?
You just need a break.
I need a break.
Yeah.
It's also, literally LA is city of eyes. Not city of angels.
City of eyeballs.
It's city of eyes.
City of eyeballs.
So it's really, it's very invasive.
Yes. You know what I do? I just wear the ugliest possible thing that I could possibly wear with a huge visor and huge sunglasses and look like so old and decrepit. And I just walk down the streets and no one's going to look at what I'm looking like.
Yes.
It's so gross.
No, people aren't checking me out. It's just like...
And no one's checking me out.
No one. It's just like people in the area. I'm just like, oh.
You need an LA break.
I need an LA break. And that's why we're going to be in...
Austin.
With Joe Rogan.
This was so fun, y'all.
This was so much fun.
Let me do another.
I know, same.
This was really fun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're the best.
You guys, Ansley, let's get them on the podcast before you move.
Yes.
You said before January.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ansley, let's definitely get them on the podcast.
Okay, guys, we love you so much. You guys know where to follow Lauren. She's, you know, everywhere.
Iconic.
Yeah, iconic. Number one.
Hopefully, I'm not everywhere in 2021.
Ooh,
hopefully,
that's
I'm
a
just
good
some
goal.
Places.
100%. But yes. Okay, we'll see.
We'll hold you to it.
All right, guys, we love you. We'll see you later.
Love you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Lauren. That was so much fun. Welcome to ESC community. We're so glad you're here.
So glad you're here. Find out more at theskinnyconfidential.com. Listen to the Him and Her podcast. And for all y'all that are looking to shop for the holidays, make it easy on yourself. Go to shopalmost30.com. We have workshops, downloadables. We have sustainable, eco-friendly merch. And we would love to just support you as you continue evolving into 2021.
Yeah, so proud. Almost 30 on all socials. Come connect with us. Our Instagram is mostly inspirational quotes, reels, insightful information. So we're glad to get to know you there. On YouTube, we have videos which are new. And then the rest of our episodes are all spirituality, wellness, entrepreneurship, all about your personal evolution.
Yeah. And I'm at Lindsay Simsek on Instagram.
And I'm at It's Krista.
And we'd love to thank our sponsors for this episode. As always, we are only sharing brands that we truly believe in and use ourselves. Saqqara, Osea Malibu, Paleo Valley, and FX Chocolate. You can find out all of the discount codes and links in our show notes, as well as on almost30.com.
Yeah, enjoy. We'll see you on the next episode.
Love you.
Bye.